Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Victor Adefuye of Winning by Design. He's the managing director there. Good afternoon in your case, Victor. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mark. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also. I think I got your last name right, correct?
Yes, you did. You did a really good job at that.
Thank you. I had to practice.
Of course.
So to start with, can you tell us about, you know, a little bit about your history before you went to Winning by Design?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, my career actually started practicing law as an attorney. So after law school, I practiced for about 4 years. I really think that that was a formative experience in many ways. I learned how to improve my communication skills, my persuasion skills, how to tell good stories, you know. And so, you know, although I didn't want to stay in the law because I really wanted to be in business, more in the decision-making side, you know, I think a lot of that experience I've carried with me since. But then after leaving the law, I went into business, didn't really know where to enter in business. So I went into financial services sales. You know, that was a really great experience because it had a really great training program at the company that I worked for. Really taught us the importance of sales activity, of messaging, of its process, targeting the right ICP with your messaging. And, you know, that was really a formative experience as well that then, you know, I was lucky enough to get into entrepreneurship. I got my first startup was funded by a successful entrepreneur, and we grew that for a few years. Ultimately, we had to shut down the venture in 2015. But I learned through that experience how important it was to build a sales team from the ground up, and how difficult it was. And so, you know, I leveraged that experience to start a consulting practice in 2015 to help businesses and salespeople to really build their go-to-market strategy. And that firm was acquired by Winning by Design in 2019. And that's how I ended up here.
Cool. And it's interesting you mentioned starting in law.
Yeah.
You don't think, especially trial law, that you really are a salesperson if you're a trial lawyer, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about persuasion.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not only persuading a jury, but a judge. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it is about storytelling, right? Taking facts and weaving them together into a narrative that, you know, points someone in one direction or another. And, you know, especially when it comes to working with our current clients on messaging, on building their core sales narrative, I think those skills have really been helpful.
Yeah, maybe your next career will be in politics. Who knows?
I don't think so.
I agree with you on that one. So, well, let's talk about Winning by Design now. What is Winning by Design? What do you guys do? Who do you do it for? All those things.
Yeah, sure. So Winning by Design, we are a sales consulting firm based in Silicon Valley. We've been around since 2013, and we have folks all around the world. So it really started as an international firm. So we have folks in China, South America, Europe, you know, Canada, United States, and Australia, a few other places. But then we also started off since our very beginning as an all remote team. So, you know, I work from home. I have worked from home. Almost all my colleagues, I would say all of my colleagues work from home. And so that's been a very interesting experience. And, you know, in terms of what we do, we help our clients, primarily SaaS companies or what we call recurring revenue businesses, to figure out their sales strategy, identify the right go-to-market motion for their teams, help them to design the right sales processes, messaging, you know, train their salespeople, coach their salespeople, train their managers, all encompassing sales enablement and sales strategy consulting firm.
Interesting. So what do you think are some of the key factors in a successful, you know, strategy for sales or design or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing to get right is your data. And this is often where there are challenges working with clients because, as a lot of people know, sales data is dependent on salespeople entering that data into Salesforce accurately, and that dependent on their managers insisting or reinforcing that behavior. But if we can get our hands on accurate sales data, that goes a long way because it gives us the foundation of what's going on at the firm, what's possible, right? And with that data, we can compare it to benchmarks and be able to say, all right, there's room for improvement here, there's room for improvement there, and then we can deep dive into what those solutions look like. So I think data is a really important foundation. And then after that is understanding the importance of process. You know, I think very often sales, people think of sales as this job that people are either born with, born good at, or they're not, right? Mm-hmm. But in actuality, I very strongly believe that it's a set of skills that, yeah, some people may have it easier, it may be easier for some people to adopt than others, but everybody with the right intention can become a successful salesperson. But that the foundation of their success has to be following the right process, right? Mm-hmm. If they're, you can be the best salesperson in the entire world. If you are following a high velocity two call close sales process when you're trying to sell to an enterprise company, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. If you are not targeting the right people with your messaging, you're going to lose, right? And if you don't have clarity as to what is the next step in this decision-making process, who do I need to engage? How do I need to influence them? You're going to lose. And so I think for a lot of organizations that are thinking about building out their sales strategy, you really need to think about what is the right process for the sales team to follow, get that documented, train them on it, look at the data from it, and optimize it until you get to a point where, you know, the majority of your sales team is following the same consistent process and therefore seeing the positive results.
It's interesting you bring up those two things, because I think you would agree, historically, salespeople have not liked data entry and they have not liked process, correct?
Yes. I think that's probably true, but I think the best salespeople recognize that when things are going well, it feels automatic.
Yeah.
Right. It feels like you just know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And where we get in trouble is, I had a really, really good call. You know, I could go in a variety of different directions as the next step, especially when we're talking about complex enterprise sales. Then, you know, if you don't know what to do next, then you get stuck and you feel like you're making the wrong decision, and you may make the wrong decision. Right. And so, you know, I think the best salespeople recognize that what they want to do is show up every day and execute on a process that's proven and that they can have confidence in working. And if you can show them that, at least this is my experience, mm-hmm. then they're much more likely to get consensus and alignment and get them on board with you know, all executing the right way, if you can prove to them that it works.
And I think that's true of most disciplines, that if you have a proven process that people follow, you know, over time, it will work, right?
Yeah.
I actually once read a book that said that technical people would be good salespeople to have the potential because they're really good at following process.
Yes.
They might not be as extroverted, that they might have a problem with that, but
yeah.
Give them a task and say, boom, 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 they'll do it because that's what they do every day.
Yeah. You know, I think that's very true, right? You know, to go back to where I started my sales career in financial services, right? I was experienced when I came into the role, but I know that a lot of these financial services firms selling, you know, investment services, insurance services, things like that, they often hire people straight out of college,
mm-hmm.
right, to sell some of the most complex products in the entire world. And the way that they teach these kids right out of college is they teach them to follow a process. Mm-hmm. They say, memorize this script. This is what a good lead looks like, you know, and, you know, meeting number one is this, you collect this information, you put together a report for meeting number two. And then, you know, the next step is X, Y, and Z. And, you know, that foundation was really impactful in teaching me the importance of process. And I think it's the perfect evidence that if you can get the process and the messaging and the targeting right, you can literally, you know, obviously you can't just pick anybody off the street because they have to have some foundational background and experience, But with sufficient background and experience, anybody should be able to be successful if you have the right process.
Yes, I would tend to agree with that. So, and it's interesting, you know, because 2.5 years ago, the pandemic hit, and you know, that a lot of companies weren't ready for that. And how do you think that affected the sales process for a lot of companies?
It affected it a lot. I mean, yeah. Especially if you were selling face to face, if you had a field sales go to market motion that was heavily dependent on meeting your prospects face to face. Obviously, the pandemic has changed that. You know, we're all spending a lot more time on Zoom and doing remote meetings. And, you know, right as the pandemic hit, that really drove a lot of demand for our work, especially for those firms that were doing a lot of field sales and had to teach often, you know, sellers who were advanced in their careers new tricks, right? And so, you know, that I think was a shock to a lot of organizations. Eventually, I think most of them were able to figure some way around it. But yeah, it was if your process required things that, you know, required face-to-face, then you had to change your process. And so that was the first challenge that organizations were confronted with. But very quickly, I think organizations are seeing the benefit of remote selling. Because, you know, I know for myself, you know, I used to do a lot of face-to-face training, you know, and I still love doing face-to-face training. But at this point, you know, the cost of taking a day or two off just to do a half day of training for one client, right, seems a lot more than it did in the past. And that efficiency of not having to get on a plane, right, being able to get people into a room together remotely, regardless of where they are, to have a conversation, you know, there are some benefits to that that could, you know, lead to shortened sales cycles, and more and better engagements in certain ways with your clients. And so, I think as organizations have started to, you know, embrace this reality, there's been a lot of innovation in their process design using things like video and things like that. So really appreciating the beneficial impacts of the pandemic as well.
Yeah, no, it's funny because in the past, I have flown from the West Coast to the East Coast for a 1 hour meeting, right, with the client. And that takes up two whole days, right?
Yeah.
So if you look at it just from a pure hours standpoint, that's 15 hours that were lost of productivity.
Yeah, exactly. And so let's imagine that if you didn't, so first you have to schedule the trip, right? And so you have to find a day that works for you and a day that works for them. And it can't be just any day because, you know, they have to spend half the day with you or whatever, right? And so there's some delay in getting that meeting on the calendar, right? And then there's the execution of the meeting and the back and forth, right? And then, you know, did that add a week to your sales process or your sales cycle?
Yeah.
Right? You know, and so if we could cut that week away from all of your sales cycles, right? What would that lead to in terms of additional revenue? So there is a promise here that could be realized of remote selling if it's done correctly. But, you know, not to downplay the importance of face-to-face, because face-to-face still is plays a critical role. But I think we all learned that it may not be as necessary for success as we once thought, and that there might be some benefits to this remote-first approach.
Yeah, and I've always been told that the second best outcome of a sales meeting is no.
Yes.
Right? Right. Absolutely. And so if you can get to that quicker, that means you can get to those ones that are potential yeses even quicker, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, the third worst here, the worst outcome is let me think about it.
Yes, of course. That is the delay, the day tactic that all salespeople suffer from.
Yes. So what do you think going forward? I mean, Winning by Design, you're 100% remote company. So I'm assuming you follow a remote sales approach. Is that correct?
Yes, predominantly.
Yeah. And how do you think going forward with you and your customers, do you think that this will become the standard, or do you think people will kind of go back to the old way?
I think we will go back to some degree, but not as much. I think that, And the biggest reason is probably because your customers aren't at the office anymore.
Right.
Right. And so for them, it's like, do I want to come into the city, the office or whatever, just to meet with a salesperson? Right. And so that, and especially if it's possible to do some of this remotely.
Yes.
And so I think that I don't know if we'll ever get back to the world of where the pre-pandemic world of, like, you know, traveling being the default.
Yes.
That being said, you know, I think that there will be more face-to-face, but it will be more strategic, mm-hmm. right? And so maybe it's for those higher value deals that make it worthwhile, or it's certain critical points in the sales process. So, you know, maybe you do the initial discovery meetings with all of the stakeholders remotely, but that stakeholder meeting where you get all of them together to workshop on the solution and make a decision, that needs to be face-to-face, yeah. You know, maybe some supplemental negotiations meeting, whatever it may be, the demo, like a group demo, something like that. I think organizations will be a little bit more strategic in which meetings in the sales process are remote versus face-to-face. It won't be as much as in the past, but I think you know, for the right deals in the right times in the opportunity, we're going to continue to see more face to face.
Yeah, I would agree. And especially for startups who really have to watch the bottom line closely. Yes. Like you get to the bigger companies and they have a budget for this stuff. So it's kind of like, well, if I don't use it, I'm not going to get it next year. So you might see the bigger companies, they might have more travel. The startups are like, hey, unless they're ready to sign, we're not going.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's interesting. You can make an argument in both ways, right? So one is, yeah, as a startup, preserve cash, you know, don't travel unless you have to. But for those really big, important deals,
yes.
Then as a startup, you know, especially an untested startup that may not have a long track record, you need to build that trust with whoever your champion's going to be that, hey, I'm willing to take a risk on this untested organization. And, you know, as much as I'm a fan of remote selling and all of that and the convenience, there's no doubt that for trust building, you know, face-to-face communication is probably more effective. And so, you know, for that big deal that really matters, then, you know, the startup founder probably still should get on a plane and meet that champion face-to-face. Because they're taking a risk on you and you know, you need to show that you're invested in them as well.
That's true. And generally with the startups, it is the founder and the CEO who gets on the plane. Cause then it's like, because they want to know that, hey, this company's going to, you know, the CEO is guaranteeing that they'll do what we ask for. Cause generally with a startup, there's always something custom that the customer will want generally.
Yeah. Yes, of course. And yeah, it's always best for the founders to hear that directly from the customers.
Yeah, and commit to, yes, we'll build this for you. Well, Victor, it's been great talking to you today.
Likewise.
Hopefully, you know, if you're ever in the Bay Area, if you have a sales trip out here, give me a call. We'll go out and we'll have a beer. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And yeah, I think, you know, when you go on sales trips, making sure that you're meeting multiple people at the same time is another way to make them a lot more efficient. So yeah, I would definitely welcome an opportunity to connect with you on a future business trip.
Sounds good, sir. All right. Well, have a great day.
All right. You too. Thank you so much.